And every time I get around the Word, what I expect is the Lord to show me something different. Maybe something I haven't seen before. You know what that is? That's called present truth. Present truth. Now truth. A now Word, you know. And so every time I get around the Word of God, that's what I'm looking for. And you know what? Don't just leave it to the pastors to behave and get around the Word that way. Get around the Word yourself that way, you know, the Lord to show you something new or different or something you haven't seen before. It's called revelation knowledge. And the Bible says, Matthew 16, that he's going to build his church upon that rock of revelation knowledge. That's us. He's going to build us on revelation knowledge. Look it up for yourself in Matthew 16. The Lord says it really clearly there. He says it to Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And he said this, he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Against what? Against revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. Present truth, what he's saying. Not just what he said. I like this series that we've gotten into. We were into the series of God's love. And what God is, I believe, reminding us all about is that we are called to be a people of love. And we've been seeing that the first commandment that we've been left to keep by the Lord is that love the Lord your God. And, you know, we best see that right before the start on the second greatest commandment, we better see that it's to love your Lord your God. How do we do that? You know, we can move on to love your neighbour as yourself, but how do you love the Lord your God? And we've just been spending some time about finding out how we do that. How do we do that as a people? And, of course, love your neighbour as yourself is very important. But we need to know how to love the Lord our God. And I felt this verse in Matthew because I like it particularly because it goes into our human dimensions. We are to love the Lord from our heart. And, of course, meaning from our spirit. It becomes a heartfelt love, doesn't it? When we love the Lord our God from our heart. And he says, and our soul. That passage of Scripture is so important for us because it also captures the dimensions of man. And of course, the dimensions of man are what? I am a spirit. I am a spirit. And you can say that of yourself as well. I am a spirit. I live in a body and I have a soul. Good teaching, getting the dimensions right in order there. I am a spirit. You know, you say, well, what is that? Well, our spirit is the eternal part of us. That's the part of us that lives on. Amen? And, of course, you know, the part of us that lives on after our body dies, our spirit lives forever. Amen. Get this, whether we're saved or not. That's just a little side note. Our soul is where we all have our will, our intellect, and our emotions. That's that soulish realm. And, you know, we are to love God from our heart. You know, our spirit, and also from our soul, our will, our intellect, and our emotions. We bring all those. Now, the Bible talks about renewing the mind. It's talking about that. You know, our will, our intellect, our emotions, renewing that to the Word of God, what the Word of God says. Very important that we get that understood. And we'll start there in Matthew chapter 22 and read that scripture again. And we see there in verse 37, it says, Jesus declared, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, it's all about that. It's all about love. Everything else hangs on that. Our love walk. And, you know, we want to get on to the second commandment. You know, how we walk in love toward one another, how we keep short accounts, how we don't, you know, hold a grudge. We want to get on to that. And there's teaching in that around the love of God that we should understand and know. But, you know, first of all, we need to know what it is to express our love to God. How do we do that? It's beautiful to see people in church on Sunday morning expressing their love to God, you know, worshipping him, raising their hands. You know, it's a sign. Whenever you see someone raising your hands, they're surrendering. That's all right. That's all you need to think about. They're just surrendering to God, lifting their hands and saying, you know, Lord, I surrender. How many of you know we need to surrender? You know, we need to submit to God and let him have his way in our lives. You know, that's right. I give in. I'm giving up on me and I'm relying on you. That's what that is. Amen. And what we've been seeing is loving God with all of our being is achieved through keeping God's word. That's what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. Here is Jesus in John chapter 14 telling us this very truth. And we're just a little bit of a recap. Verse verse 19 to 21 of John 14, it says, a little while longer and the world will soon see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. You know, it's that, you know, that full indwelling presence of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. Ooh, just make that. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Great scripture. Good one to meditate. We finished last week by recognizing that Judas, one of the 12 disciples, and Jesus' half-brother, asked the question. Jesus' half-brother. His mother was Mary, the mother of Jesus. So very important to see that. And in John 14, verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, very important, it was Judas, the half-brother of Jesus, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Good question. Great question from Judas. How will we know your manifest presence and those in the world not know it? And of course, Jesus answers in John chapter 14, verse 23. He says this, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. How do we love him?
Keep his word.
That's very important to see that. Underline that in your Bible. When you get home, get some yellow highlighter out and highlight that as well, because how we love God is by keeping his word.
Amen.
And it brings us into more of God. Brings us into more of him. And look what it says. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. And Jesus is indicating that he came with the word from his heavenly Father for us to receive, to us to take on board. If we're going to love God, we're going to keep his word. Let there be a light bulb moment for this church right here. Take a moment to reflect on that as current as it needs to be, and your particular relationship, and make it a priority right now to give yourself to the Word of God in your daily life. You know, I occasionally see some people who I know who are living that way, who are seeking and, you know, chasing after God's heart, and have recognized that the first thing you got to do is blow the dust off that Bible. That's the first thing you got to do, because sometimes it sits on that shelf for too long before you get it back down again. And, you know, apps are great, but, you know, if you're using apps and all that kind of thing, it doesn't always suit everybody, but watch out. It becomes just I might flick over there and have a look and flick, and then we move on. I think in some Bible studies I've seen, they won't allow you to bring an app. You've got to bring an actual book with paper in it and flick around and actually work out where the books are without looking to and navigate to that book really quickly. You think we're all pretty smart. I remember a few years ago when I first started using my iPad in a Bible study, I thought it was pretty quick because I could get there quicker than anyone else, and it was still flicking around through their pages. You just go boop and navigate to the page and quickly down to the verse. We think we're pretty good. But the thing is, you know, there's something about holding paper, isn't there? There is something about holding that Bible in our hands. And I think the Lord feels that as well. So the Word of God needs to be the thing that we keep ourselves in. And we saw last week, Judas goes on to write in his epistle, whilst talking about prayer and praying in the Holy Spirit particularly, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. And of course, why would Jude say this if we didn't have to do it? Keep yourselves in the love of God. If it was something that we didn't have to do, that we didn't, you know, that there was no more action required, he wouldn't have said it. But he said it. Keep yourself in the love of God. Open your Bible and start reading. Amen. Open your Bible and start looking. And in Jude 20, verse 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. We love to pray in our heavenly language. It says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So very important. In reading these verses in Jude, we could make the mistake of thinking that it's just through maybe praying in the Holy Spirit that we keep ourselves in the love of God. Don't get me wrong, that won't hurt. Praying in the Holy Spirit is an important thing. Let's remember what the love chapter says about that, and we'll go there just quickly. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love. You know, you can rattle away in your heavenly language for hours and hours, but love is something you need to have. It says, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You know what that is? It means that without love, we're just a big noise. And that we need to go back and actually look at the love walk and start asking ourselves. It's not hard to be religious once you get around spiritual people. It's not hard to just become religious and not actually spirit contacted or connected, I should say. Let's remember what that love chapter says. We say the Apostle Paul prays for the church at Ephesus, and notice his prayer is about us being strengthened through a deep spiritual connection with God. God's spirit fellowshipping with our spirit. We talked about it before. I am a spirit. That's my first nature. And when I become born again, I become alive in my spirit to the things of God. Well, so did you. Came alive to the things. So there's a newfound sensitivity to God and his spirit when we're born again. The Lord wants us knowing the varying dimensions of his love so that we would be rooted and grounded in it. We would see that the way into being filled with the fullness of God is clearly through our comprehension of the width and the length and the depth and the height of God's love. And that's what they're saying is there's many dimensions to God's love that we should understand and know. In other words, it's not just read 1 Corinthians 13 and you'll be all right. No, no, there's a little bit more to it. And that's what we've got to go looking for, that greater understanding of God's love. And of course, the result of it is we get filled with the fullness of God. Amen. It's how we get to be used by the Lord, impacting the lives of others, carrying his presence. And we also need to carry his presence. We don't want it, you know, you don't want it just to be the smell of your perfume or your aftershave that attracts someone to God. Nothing wrong with those things. It's nice to smell good, you know. But, you know, we don't want it to be about, you know, how good you look, or, you know, there's so many handsome and good-looking people in church that I can understand why people would want to come and be in church here today with us. But, you know, it's not about that. It needs to be about the attraction that comes when there's just something of God's spirit about you, because we're walking in the fullness of God. We've got something of his presence in our lives that gets out into other people's lives. And that might be, you know, initially the thing that gets their attention is you just walking in love, just being as sweet as you can be, you know, not easily offended. Amen? Ephesians 3, and we'll read that too. It says Ephesians 3, verse 14 to 19, and it says this, for this reason I bow my knees. This is the Apostle Paul really letting the Ephesians know what's important. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Is that connection, his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. What for? That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. We might have something of him. We might be filled with him. And you know, it's true. We get out there in the community and people go, oh, they're full of it. But we know what we're full of. Amen. We know what we're full. We're filled with the presence of God. And we need to cooperate with him, because he wants to get out and get onto other people and minister into their lives. You know, the Apostle John writes in his first epistle, a very good one to look at. We love him because he, what? First loved us. We love him. We were attracted to his love. But we had to receive his love first. In other words, the word came. And of course, that's the question. How did God love us first? We make the mistake of thinking that God didn't love us or doesn't love us or doesn't love the world until we come to him and accept him as and receive his love and forgiveness. But, you know, that thinking for a Christian becomes a religious hardness, where, you know, a kind of a them and us perspective. When we start seeing people outside as not being able to, you know, be reached by the love of God. And that's just such an error. Such a wrong thing to be thinking. And we know that from Romans 5:8, mentioned it last week, but here it is. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were what? Still sinners, Christ died for us. And you know, when you see other people around you, you know, and there's people that are not behaving well, people maybe in the workplace or friends and family who are not doing all that they should, make sure it's the love of God that they feel coming from you and not your judgment. That's the hard part. And I'll be the first one to say, well, we've got to really work on that, Lord. And I know the Lord knows that we need to work on that. But that is the answer, is just to keep loving. Keep loving. Keep you know, letting that love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. He loved us all, and even you, where you were. And that's where, you know, he loved us first. And we love him because he loved us first. And now I think it's fascinating that the Gospel of John, which is written by the Apostle John, John comes to be known as the Apostle of Love. One of his, you know, one of the things that they talk about John, who wrote the Gospel, he, besides Paul, was one of the major contributors to the New Testament. So he's second. You know, Paul wrote most of the books of the Bible. I believe I can't recall what the number is, but I think he wrote six books of the Bible, John. John knew that God loved us and of course understood that the way that God loved us is he sent his word to us. You know, only a small scripture, but it says Psalm 107:20, he sent his word and healed them. God's answer for our solution is his word. That's how he loves us. He loves us through his word and delivered them from their destructions. I saw one translation that said, and delivered us from the door of death. Because you know what? We're all going through it. We're all headed for that door. Some of us had our hands on the knob. We're so playing with it, living dangerously, living risk, you know, with risk. Just, you know, couldn't care less. Thought we were bulletproof. Some of the things I used to get up to, I wouldn't even begin to tell you some of the things I used to get up to before I got saved at the age of 21. Silly stuff. Really flirting with disaster. You know, in starting his gospel, and I like this, and this adds on to the fact that the apostle of love, John, had such a revelation of how God loves us. The very first verse, John doesn't start talking about God's love, but starts talking about how God sent his word. Isn't that interesting? In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. What a great thing for us to get a hold of. And just in case the penny hasn't dropped yet, we go down to verse 14, look what it says. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the saddest sight, and I say it, and I don't want to leave on a somber note, but the saddest sight is Christians who barely have a connection to the word of God, who barely can work out, you know, where to find Philippians. Where's Philippians? Is that in the Old Testament or is that in the New Testament? You know, Christians have been saying for a while, you know, no, it's a New Testament script, you know, book. Go find that. It's a saddest sight. Let's not forget our first love. Amen. It's connected to the great commandment. Let's ensure that we love the Lord our God by keeping his word before us, by being a people that are hungry for his word. Not just an intellectual approach, but not just stimulating our intellects, not just a with historical facts and things, but a revelatory approach. I'm looking for that now word. I'm looking for that present truth. I'm looking for what God is saying to me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, just stirring your heart with that. You know, when the Lord speaks to you, just a simple thing, I tell you, it can just change the outlook on your whole day. And he's still speaking, church. He's still in that business of ministering to us. And, you know, for some, it's just like, you know, you open your, we call this in Bible college the kaplunk method, all right? The kaplunk, and I've found that sometimes the kaplunk method actually works. We used to sort of discredit it a little bit, but, you know, when you get your Bible out and you just go, Lord, I really need you to speak to me today. And you just pop your Bible open and your Bible opens and you start and you let your finger drop. And who's done that? Come on. Or, you know, okay, I knew that I wouldn't be the only one who's ever tried it. But you've got to watch out for that because it's not a really good way of being led by the Spirit of God. Watch out. And I heard someone joke about someone who did that, and of course it was a part where someone was told to go out and hang themselves, you know. And it was like, whoa, you know, just be really careful there. You know, very dangerous stuff that. But you know, we ought to be a people who know how to be led by the Spirit of God. We ought to be a people who know how to find the word that God's speaking to us and know that he's saying that to us. And of course, very important that we recognize that the Lord wants to bring revelation knowledge to us, seeking God for his insight, wisdom, those now words, that present truth for our lives and our families. What for? That we might not just be hearers of the word, but doers. Amen? Doers of the word. And I tell you, there's a whole world that needs to start living that lifestyle. Start coming to an understanding of how good our God is and how much he loves us. Amen? Amen.